Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Well, the evidence is clear. Spending too much time on smartphones, social media and gaming is not good for the mental health of teenagers. Melanie Hempy confronted the reality of her own son's video game addiction more than 10 years ago. And as a nurse, she pored over the science to understand what happened in her family. Now she helps other parents avoid screen addiction becoming a crisis for their teens. And the solution, she says, is actually pretty simple, but it's countercultural and likely very unpopular. Delay giving kids smartphones until after high school. Melanie Hempy is the founder of Screen Strong, and she joins me now. Hi, Melanie.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely to talk to you. This happened in 2010, this crisis in your family, and probably fair to say you didn't know then what we know now about the effect of screens on teens' mental health. But what happened to your son, Adam?
Yeah, we have four children, and so Adam is our first. And as many parents know, it's kind of hard to start off that first child knowing what to do every time something comes up. And what happened with Adam, it was what happens to many, many families across the globe. He started off in middle school just loving his video games. He started off as a very casual user. And then as we progressed through middle school and into high school, he became a more problematic user, I would say, and I became the game cop mom. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but
I'm not. No.
So the game cop mom is a job that we moms get when we have to set the kitchen timer, you know, get our kids off those video games, you know, try to limit their time. Otherwise, they would be on it all day, and I felt like the bad guy all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's very frustrating to feel like you're allowing something in your house that's making you and your child argue all the time. And it was causing a lot of conflict in our home. And Adam was a good kid. He did his chores. He was a straight A student. I miss some of the warning signs now that I know what the warning signs are, but I missed them. And video gaming became his go-to activity. It was the only thing that he wanted to do. He dropped out of all his sports and his other activities. And I asked my mom friends, I said, you know, what's happening in your home? And they said, well, you know what? At least our boys are in the basement. We know where they are. They're not getting in trouble. They're not getting trouble with girls or alcohol and all this. And I thought, you know, that's really kind of a low bar. I mean, shouldn't our boys be, you know, out of the house? And so we went through a lot of conflict. We had younger kids, and Adam would get very angry sometime when he gamed, you know, because gaming causes a lot of aggression. And I did not understand this at all. I was very thankful for him to go into college and go to the university and actually start his life. And that is not what happened. I picked him up after that first year, after his first freshman year of school, picked him up and immediately knew something was wrong with him. I am a nurse. I have pretty good instincts as a mom as well. And, you know, parents were pretty good detectives. And I missed this one. I can't believe I missed it. I picked him up from school. He looked like he was on drugs. And I asked him that dreaded question, Adam, are you on drugs? He looked very emaciated. He had not left his room in over a week. He hadn't gone to the cafeteria to eat. He looked a mess. And he said, no, mom, that game did something to me and I'm dropping out of school. And we were shocked. He had always straight A's. He was a very good student. But what happened, he ended up gaming so much in high school that all his activities and all his motivation and his purpose in life really changed. And it became very game oriented, to where he lost all his motivation for school. But, you know, we didn't know that. We sent him off to school. He spent that first year going to classes in the beginning, but then he dropped out. It was too much for him to handle. And he did drop out of school then. We ended up putting him into the military, which was a very good idea. I did not know this at the time, but once I started doing all my research and realizing that this was truly a addiction, it was a chemical, dopamine, in his brain that was causing this addiction. And the only thing that you can do to reset a child or an adult for that matter is a detox. And so when he went into the military, he had 14 weeks of basic training and 14 weeks without his video gaming. And so that he was able to reset. But I'm telling you, it was a very traumatic time for us. You know, we had younger kids. I started rethinking how I was going to do all this with the younger kids. After, you know, I started learning, I went to I went to all sorts of conferences, talked to a lot of different physicians. And back then, this term, video game addiction or screen addiction or social media addiction, that term was not a very friendly term. People didn't want to talk about that. They didn't really believe that this was a thing, you know, as far as the general public. Now, the doctors knew, and the doctors were studying this, and the MRI studies were coming out, and all of the research was coming out. But the general public did not understand that this was a process addiction. So our school asked me to come back and share what I was learning. I went back thinking I would have, you know, 20 or 30 parents come to a meeting that we had, and we had over 100 parents show
Gosh.
up. And I realized, oh my goodness, we are not the only ones struggling with this. So that's when Screen Strong was born, so to speak. And since then, I have been educating parents on the warning signs of screen addiction, whether it's a video game or social media, it's all the same. It's the same area in the brain that is really distorted with these addictions. And that has been our purpose over here at Screen Strong, is to educate parents and then to provide a community for them to say, you know what, we're going to skip this right now during our child's, you know, most vulnerable stages of development. They will have the rest of their life, right, to be on a screen. And right now, we need to teach them basic life skills and grit and hard work and how to study and how to have social relationships and really to stay connected to their families. Because what I think the saddest thing about Adam's story is that he became very detached from his family and his friends and his extended family. And you know that that is such a very important part of mental health for our kids as well as for us. And so Adam's story does end up, you know, with a very nice outcome. He ended up staying in the military for 5 years because we intervened. He then came home and he finished college. And I'm happy to report that he has just finished law school, fourth in his
Yeah,
class.
well
So we're
done.
very, yeah, very proud of him. And he speaks now to parents, but he says that he wishes he could have gotten those 10,000 hours, which is about the time he calculated that he spent on gaming all through high school. So we're really sad about that, but we have turned Adam's story into a positive. And I tell Adam all the time, Adam, you saved your brothers and sister. So we were able to do things a little bit differently with our younger kids. And that's where my message is so positive. And I love sharing this with other families that if you're struggling with this, you know, you don't have to keep struggling. And of course, the more our kids are immersed in these technologies, the harder it is to get them back, but you can get them back. And if you have young kids, you do not have to take that pathway. It is not necessary or mandatory for any child to be on a video game. And I'm talking about teenagers too, Jesse. I'm not talking about just little kids, but it's just not necessary. Video games today, right? Video games today and social
Can
media.
you spell it out for, and I'm speaking with Melanie Hempy, by the way, founder of Screen Strong. Can you spell it out for us? In what ways are we doing children and young people a disservice by letting them have screen time?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked me that because I did not understand this when with my first, and then I totally understand it now. So the very first thing that happens when a child is on screen, and one of the worst things that happens is really after 20 minutes, right? You see this with all kids and even ourselves, that dopamine starts to rise. And so what that means is that that limbic area, the middle part of our brains, the fight flight area and the part where our emotion center is and that reward center and that reward pathway is, that starts to get highly stimulated, and it doesn't take long for it to get overstimulated. And video games today and social media today is nothing like it used to be, like it used to be Mario Kart and Pac-Man. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the popular immersive games. So the first thing that happens is the limbic area gets highly stimulated. So now your dopamine in your body is being created, you know, more and more and more dopamine. And the gaming companies are doing this, so we will stay attached to our game, just like social media companies. You know, they're called attention engineers that work for these companies. They don't want us to look away from our screen. So that's the first thing. The first thing is the dopamine gets very high. And now we need dopamine. Dopamine is necessary for survival. Everyone needs dopamine. That's a feel-good neurochemical that motivates us to continue to do things like eat and be around people and be social. But when it stays high for too long, like it does with drugs and alcohol in video games, then we have a problem, because your kids have a really hard time with that dopamine crash. And we know it all, you know, all parents know what this looks like, right? We try to take their screen away and they literally have a meltdown on the kitchen floor. Have you ever seen a kid have a withdrawal from taking a screen away?
Yeah. I mean, the irony of sometimes even with TV is, you know, you give a young child an hour of TV and it actually puts them in a worse mood than when they
yes.
started.
It does, right? It puts them in a bad mood. And the reason why is because once they get off of that high dopamine, now they go into a little bit of a crash, you know, and it's withdrawal. And so now they have to have more dopamine to get their mood up again. And the problem with, again, immersive screens, it's not all screens. And that's something we need to be really clear about. It's not every type of screen use. It is problematic screen use, which is video games, social media, and pornography. Those are the three of the most problematic screen uses for kids. We call them toxic screens. If your child is doing their homework, if they're typing an essay, if they're fixing an Excel spreadsheet, they're probably not going to get addicted to that, right? You can probably take that away and they'll say, sure thing, Mom.
Yeah.
They're not going to get addicted to that. But kids also mimic what they see. And we all have mirror neurons. And so what happens when a child is on a screen, those mirror neurons engage with what's happening on the screen as well. And so if there's violence, then your child can become aggressive, right? And this is another thing that moms are pretty shocked over. You know, I get calls, hey, he put his fist through the wall. He hit his little brother. He threw something. Sometimes they even break their computer that they're playing on because of this aggression that comes out. And they are craving low effort, high reward activities. So this is another thing that happens when your child is on a screen. That is a very low effort, high reward activity. Mm-hmm. So what happens now? Is he going to want to get off his screen and do his homework? No. He's already gotten this high reward from the, you know, very little activity that he's done. The other problem that happens is, especially with teenagers going through puberty, they are kind of transferring over to a stage of their development where they are very excited and their brain is primed, you might say, for taking high risk. So when they get on a screen, they do very different things than perhaps your fourth grader is going to do, right? Fourth graders may be searching for funny cat videos, playing silly little video games, but your puberty age kid, your, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old teenager, now they're going to be searching for different content, and they're going to be really attracted to the games that are more high risk. And they're craving novelty. So it gets worse. And I say that, you know, with teenagers, you really got to do a U-turn and just take it away for a while, because it's a stage of development that being on a screen, whether it's TikTok and social media for girls or video games for boys, it can cause a whole lot more damage than parents realize. And I'm not trying to fearmonger. I'm just trying to be very clear that you understand that what your kids are doing on their screen when they're older is quite different, you know, from what they're doing when they're little.
And so to the solution, and here in New Zealand, a survey shows 2/3 of 11-year-olds have their own smartphone. So what you're proposing, which is no smartphone till end of high school, will sound extremely radical to parents, and parents who, by the way, get a lot of pressure from kids
to I know.
Buy them a mobile phone, and everyone else has got one. And so why is that the answer? And is
so
it,
you
is
have
it
to
possible?
Start a trend, and it is possible. Yes, it's possible, and it is the answer. We know with any addiction, with anything that is problematic, the first thing we look at is access. So if we don't want our kids to be addicted to drugs and alcohol, and even donuts for that matter, right, sugar, we just can't give them access to it. So there's plenty of solutions here for a school-age child to have a phone still. They can have a basic phone, a flip phone. They do not need the internet in their pocket. And you could argue and say, well, they have the internet on their laptop. And they do. And that is plenty. But we know that they use it a lot more when it's a smaller screen in their pocket. There's a very big difference. We also know that our kids are not mature. It takes 25 years for that frontal cortex to finally connect. But they are very intelligent. So parents get really tripped up with this. They think, my kid is so smart. He's so mature. No, I'm telling you, your kid is very smart. He may be brilliant, but he is not mature. He is not able to withstand the temptation in his pocket. So as far as the culture goes, we do believe that you need to skip certain types of screen use. As far as video games go, a lot of parents try to moderate it. They try to say, well, we're just going to try to balance it. And they think balance and everything and moderation, everything is a good thing. But we really don't believe that. We don't believe that we have moderate amount of pornography. We don't believe in moderate amount of drugs and alcohol for kids. That's for adults, right? So we believe that kids need to just skip this during this 48 months of high school. It's not that long. And yes, you will say, well, all their friends have it. What we found in our house when we decided to change things up with our younger kids, I had a daughter and two more boys, and we had kind of done it all the wrong way with Adam. That was a very bad experiment for us. And so we experimented differently on the younger kids. And what we found is not shocking. What we found is that kids really want to hang out with each other.
Yeah, of course they do.
They really don't want to be on a phone. And so I went the extra mile, and it will take parents stepping out and taking those extra steps to make their house the fun house, make the food. I spent money on food. I didn't care. I'd rather spend money on food than counseling, right?
Yeah. For my kids.
So the kids, the younger kids, we had a lot of activities at our house, just fun things, very simple things. It wasn't anything earth shattering. They just want to be together. And when they came home from school, guess what? They came home from school. They had dinner with us. There were no phones, no social media. And I will tell you this, that they are now just graduated from high school, and they are fine. My two younger boys were the senior class president, the student body president. They did all of that without social media. They got to know people. They are very friendly with people. They love school. They love their teachers. We had their teachers over here for dinner sometime. We spent a lot more time in community with the people that we wanted to have influence on their life. And we wanted to raise kids that were raised by adults and not kids that were raised by kids.
What about your daughter, Melanie? Because I think arguably it's tougher for girls if they're the only ones in their group who don't have a mobile phone. So much of the chat and the bonding and the gossip, positive gossip, happens in those forums. Is that tough for her?
You know what happened? What I found out is that she bonded very well. She had deeper friendships. She felt very close to a few girls instead of trying to be close to 100 girls, if you know what I mean. And so she had a flip phone. It was fine. They still texted her. Mm-hmm. And that's what people need to understand, that it is the internet in their pocket that's causing so much trouble. So they bonded with Melissa over her text, but mostly she would call. And they had lots of conversations voice to voice. And that, we know, medically speaking, is the ticket. Girls that are on social media are very lonely. It is a very lonely place. There's high rejection pain on social media.
Yeah.
My daughter was never rejected on social media because she wasn't there. She never felt lonely. And that's where the anxiety comes in, that high anxiety. And we know that the research tells us that at the age of 15, a girl will feel the deepest rejection pain. That's the peak in her whole life is at the age of 15. And then we give her social media. So this is why so many kids are on medication. And quite frankly, the reason why I initially didn't give my daughter social media, she was going into high school. I asked some older moms, what did you do with your daughters? You know, do they have social media? She said, my mom, the mom friend I talked to said, yes. And here's a card. She handed me a card and it was a physician. And she said, once Melissa gets on social media, she's going to need to get some medication.
Yeah.
That's what they told me. And I said, well, I don't think that's a great idea to give my kid a phone and social media if she's going to need medication. But I know it's hard, but you can do it. You know, if your kids are allergic to peanuts, we don't give them peanut butter.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
just the way we, you know, it's just the parent. The parent has to decide. And then what you do is you help your child have a social life off social media. And I promise you, they love it. And all the teenagers in the world, if we lined them all up, they would all say they hated social media. And if nobody had it, that would be the best thing, right? They are very stressed over it. It makes them very anxious. They would much rather spend time in person. So that's it's kind of a trade.
Is it
and
too
I
late?
Was willing.
Is it too late once they have a phone for parents to take it back? I talk to lots of you know, friends who are parents, and they say, well, you know, I can see what it's done to my child, but it's too late now. I can't go back.
No. Never too late. We do it every day. We have our Connect group and our Screen Strong website, screenstrong.org. You go in there. It's a free Connect group. We also have a subscription version where you get more stuff, but there's a community in there. And we have a 30-day detox. We tell you how to do this. It is not that hard. The older the kids are, sure, it's a little bit harder, but I'm telling you that it is worth it. I have never had a family say, oh no, we shouldn't have done that, right? And, there,
yeah,
and I've never heard a family say, I've never had a family say, I wish we had given our kids more screen time. Like, that's not true. But you do have to, not every parent can do it, because you do have to spend more time with your kids initially to help them, because they're kind of stunted, right? And they're developing, they're shy, and you know, and kids shouldn't be shy. They're anxious, they're depressed, they're lonely. You have to get rid of the phone. You have to start spending more time with them. We give you all the tips on how to do this. It is absolutely possible. We do it every day. And the outcome is incredible. You end up, the biggest thing we hear is, I'm talking to my kids more. They're spending more time. I'm getting to know them better. You know, they briefly left the planet and now they're back. and your kids will love you for
finally,
it. They know this isn't good for them.
Yeah, finally, Melanie, are you seeing signs of hope? John Haidt has a best-selling book on this very issue at the moment. We're talking to him next month. And it seems like there is a growing recognition of the harms social media is doing to girls in particular. Are you seeing a change? I mean, you've been in this game for over 10 years now.
Yes. I've been in here for a long time, and I was so happy to help John with that book. I went through the manuscript with him, and we worked a little bit on that, and I was so happy to contribute to that book. I'm very excited about it and his Substack and the things that he's doing. Yes, the pendulum is headed toward the center. You know, it can only swing out there for so long. And I've known this all along. I knew initially everybody kind of jumps off the cliff and does everything, right? But it has to come back to the center because it's not working. So the anxiety and the depression and the loneliness, kids are suffering. We have to get it back to center. Now, when I go out and speak to groups, no longer do people, you know, say, oh, I don't think it's an addiction. Everyone knows it's an addiction. So that's so nice. I don't have to argue that point with people. We all know it's a problem. And now we have to look at what we can do to fix it. And there is a lot of hope, because the solution doesn't cost any money. The solution can be done in 30 days or 5 days. I mean, my son, who was very addicted to video games, says cold turkey is the way to go. There's no other way to do it. You have to just take it away, but you have to be prepared. You know, the longer they've been dependent on that screen, you have to fill that void. You have to help your kids. You know, it's like a coach. I say, it's like, we need to parent like a good coach. When you have a losing season, what do? You go back to the basics and you get a new game plan. You don't just keep losing. That is a bad idea. John Haidt's really helped get the message out. And that's my passion, is around educating parents. And just, I want to help everyone that comes to the table to help them turn this around in their family, because I remember that pain so well from our family.
I really lovely to talk to you. Thank you for the work you've done in this area, and we hope you continue to have successes. Melanie Hempe, founder of Screen Strong, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.